Do you dream of having a restful homeschool? That dream can become reality, but it's going to take some time to get there. Often, we start trying to create a restful homeschool by adding certain activities. These activities are not the starting point, but they can help. Today, I want to share with you 10 restful activities that can help you cultivate a restful homeschool. Welcome to the Rest in the Homeschool Trench podcast, a place for homeschool mamas seeking to cultivate victorious rest in the midst of daily homeschool battles. I'm your host, Amy Smith, and I want to offer hope that in Jesus, we can experience victorious rest. It's true. Activities cannot create a restful homeschool. We've been talking for the past several episodes about cultivating a restful homeschool. And today, as we talk about these activities, I want us to keep in mind they're not the starting point. By themselves, they cannot create a restful homeschool. Any of these activities, if we're not starting in the right place, can actually lead us to much strife and tension. Have you ever tried a fun activity of maybe baking cookies together only to end up with everybody, including yourself, in tears? That's because the activities can't create rest. But they can help cultivate that restful homeschool environment after we've laid a foundation. So that foundation is what we've been talking about for the past few weeks. First of all, we as moms really need to be seeking Jesus and asking Him to cultivate a restful heart in us. We need to ask Him to change us, to transform our hearts so that we can become restful homeschool moms. And then out of that rest, we can overflow with a sense of rest that will bless the rest of our families. So that's our starting place, is actually within our own hearts. But then we need to focus on the relationships with our children. Before we can engage in activities together that will lead us to a sense of rest, we have to be in good relationship with our children. Now, this relationship looks different based on different seasons of life and how old our children are. We talked a couple of weeks ago about cultivating a restful homeschool in the early years. And what we found in those early years is that we're really laying a foundation for rest, both for the current season and for future years. And we do that by focusing on the relationship with our children, of where we're setting boundaries for them. We're teaching them respect and obedience. We start creating margin in our days. We provide that open space so that we can engage personally with our children and not just move straight from one task to another. We also start to establish rhythms for our homeschool days. Not a rigid structure, but rhythms that take into account the relationships that we want to be fostering with our young children. Last week, we then moved to talking about cultivating a restful homeschool in the teen years. Now, in the teen years, it's a little bit different. At this point, we're kind of beyond the season of setting those strict boundaries of obedience, as our teens are moving closer to the day when they're young adults and they need to be acting independently. So these teen years are all about this transition. It's about this give and take as we, as parents, discern what our parenting relationship needs to look like during this time. But one thing that can really help our relationships with our teenagers during middle and high school is to start to enter their world and to value them as unique individuals. We can enter their world by entering their space, going to their bedrooms, not going to their rooms to check and see if they've cleaned up. In fact, we might want to ignore the mess, but we want to go just sit and talk with them and hear what's going on in their hearts and their minds. We can also enter into their interests by listening to the music that they enjoy, or reading something or watching something that they've been engaging with. Again, it's important for us as parents to monitor what is going into our children's minds, but we can also engage in these things just to learn more about our children, to learn about what they enjoy. We can also enter into their activities. In humility, we can ask them to teach us about those things that they love. We can let them be the experts and teach us. And by doing these things, we can cultivate stronger relationships with our older children. But through building relationships with our kids, whether they're preschoolers or high schoolers, once we establish that sort of relationship that cultivates a restful environment in our homes, then we can add these different activities and they can help cultivate a restful homeschool. Now, you don't have to be in a perfect place of restful relationship in order for these activities to be beneficial. So it's not that we're in this linear sort of path and that we have to check off one box before moving to the other. These all kind of come together and we're going to naturally move from one place to another. But I want to share these ideas for restful activities. And as we talk about them, I do want us to keep in mind that they're not a magic answer. Just because we engage in an activity that can be restful doesn't mean it's going to cultivate rest in our homes. It can, but we also have to balance that with our focus on our relationship with our children. So let's jump into these 10 restful activities. One is morning time. You know, this could go by many different names. Some people refer to this as having a morning basket, but the idea is that sometime in the beginning of your school day, you have a time that everybody gathers together. You might be reading books together. It might be that you're having Bible time or working through a devotion book. Maybe you're reading aloud a fun fiction book, or maybe you're reading a biography. Maybe you're looking at poetry together. Maybe you enjoy some music together, or maybe you're working on memorizing something for your school. The idea is that we gather together to start our day, and this can cultivate a restful homeschool. Now, this morning time doesn't actually have to be in the morning. The idea is that we're just gathering together to learn together as a family. Number two, a gratitude journal. Maybe this is something that you do. It's something that's great for us to do as moms because it helps us develop a heart of thankfulness and it helps our hearts become more restful. But this is also a great activity to do with our families. In one season of our homeschool life, we had a basket where I kept different books that we used during our morning time. And in this, we each had our own gratitude journal. And so for just a few minutes, we'd pass them out and everybody would write down a few things that they were thankful for. And sometimes we would have a certain category that would help kind of give us ideas to brainstorm. And then we would each share one thing we're thankful for that day. Number three is poetry tea time. This might be an idea that you've seen. It might be an idea that works for your family. It might be an idea that doesn't. The general idea here is that at some point during your day, you break and have tea together. I know we bought a special teapot that became our tea time teapot for I don't remember how long it was, but for a season when my kids were younger. And during poetry tea time, you would have a book of poetry, enjoy your tea together, read a poem, and then talk about it. But the fourth activity I want to share is actually what my family did most of the time. And it was, I guess I'd call it just an open tea time, where I would have this time for us to get together at some point during the day. And I had no agenda. Because for most of our day and most of our school time, I came with an agenda. So we would have tea time where I just let my kids guide the conversation. And I would see where we ended up. And I would focus on really just listening to my children rather than trying to guide the conversation. Number five is nature walks. There are many different ways that you can approach taking a nature walk, but this can be a restful activity just by spending some time outside and using your skills of observation and noticing the small things that are around you. You could make your nature walk be a scavenger hunt. Look online, find a list of things, or create your own list and see how many of those things you can find outside. You could take a journal and do some nature sketching. Or you could just take a walk and enjoy being outside together and just see what you notice. Number 6 is bingo. This was one activity that was great for my family when my kids were younger. And the idea here is that for your school day, you have a short list of the required things that your children need to accomplish for their academics. Then you take some of those extra activities that you really want your kids to do, but you don't want to make it into a battle. Put those ideas onto a bingo sheet. Just draw out a grid with 5x5, and in each one of the little squares, put a fun activity. Maybe you're wanting them to create something from your history reading, maybe drawing a picture of it, or maybe creating a little display out of Play-Doh, something like that. Maybe you want them doing some fun work with some maps. Whatever the extra activities might be you want them to do for school, put them on the bingo sheet. Give your kids the opportunity to choose which one they want to do today, or do they want to do one, or do they want to do three? And when they get several in a row, they get a bingo. It makes this a game. But more than that, it puts learning into our children's own hands and lets them take a step toward becoming independent learners. Can also help provide a little bit of rest for you because you're not the one who's having to drive and force everything to happen in the day. Number 7 is to have a quiet activity basket. This could be a basket of some sort that you keep in your family room or in your den or your family room, living room, whatever you call the space in your house where everyone tends to gather. Take this basket and fill it with quiet activities like coloring books, dot-to-dot books, Sudoku, yarn for finger knitting, any sort of quiet activity that people could be doing while you're in the same space together. It's just one simple way to draw everybody into the same space. Number 8 is to have a daily rest or reading time. This would be a time when everybody kind of sits in their own space. It might be in different rooms, it might be in the same room, but everyone's quiet for a while and reads their own books. So this could be reading a chapter book or a novel for older kids. It could be looking at pictures in a picture book for younger ones. It could be doing a quiet activity, playing Legos or something like that. But having this habit that every day at a certain time in the rhythm of our day, we take some time to just not talk with one another and separate and enjoy a quiet activity on our own. Number 9 is to have some sort of fun food that gathers everybody together. Now, when the kids are little, it might be taking your fruit and putting them together to form the shape of a butterfly or something cute like that. As kids get older, they may not be into the food resembling an insect anymore. But there's still fun food activities that we can use to gather our family together. A few that my family loves are building your own pizza. So we give everybody their own pizza dough and put out all the toppings. Everybody gets to choose what they want, but it gathers everyone in the kitchen to prepare a fun food together. Another great idea is making a nacho table where you lay out your nachos on the table and make a big pile of chips and add your cheese and sour cream, salsa, whatever you want on your nachos. And then everybody gathers around the same table. It's bringing everyone together. Another one is if you have a fire pit, going outside and making s'mores. We're preparing fun food, but more than that, we're gathering in the same space and opening up an opportunity just to enjoy being with each other and enjoy talking. And finally, activity number 10, it's going to be your kids' choice. Ask your kids what they want to do. Often as homeschool moms, we are driving the structure, we're driving the rhythm, we're driving the agenda for our days. But our kids have great ideas that they want to do. And it can help us cultivate a restful homeschool by doing the things that they want as well. It helps us get to know our children, to appreciate their unique interests. And it gives us, again, an opportunity to gather together, to enjoy time with one another. And it's really those moments that we're spending together and enjoying being with one another. That's really the heart of a restful homeschool. That's the heart of restful activities. If we're enjoying being together, then it will be a restful activity. That's why it's important for us to focus on building relationships rather than expecting the activities to create the restful homeschool for us. So I hope that one of these ideas is something that will be a blessing for your homeschool that you will try. Not all of these are going to work for all of us, but hopefully one of these ideas will help you cultivate a restful homeschool for your family. The one thing that I want to leave you with today, though, goes back a step further. Instead of choosing one of these activities, I want to encourage you to take the one step today of asking yourself this question. In order to cultivate a restful homeschool, what does your family need right now? Do you need a restful activity? Or do you need to focus on investing in relationships? That's going to be your starting point today for cultivating a restful homeschool. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue looking at ways that we as homeschool moms can cultivate restful hearts so that we can cultivate restful homeschools for our families. But until then, I pray that you and your children will experience God's rest as you cultivate a restful homeschool together.